My dear brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning of this Mass, today we start the preaching series of the Archdiocese with the title The Eucharist, the Sacrament of Divine Love, with a subtitle of today, Christ, our Universal King, who achieved his kingship through charity. So today, at the end of the church's liturgical year, the readings describe the enthronement of the victorious Christ as King in heaven in all his glory. Instituting this feast of Christ the King in 1925, Pope Pius XI proclaimed Pax Christi in Regno Christi, the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. This means that we live in the peace of Christ when we surrender our lives to him every day, accepting him as our God, Savior, and King, and allow him to rule our lives. Pope Pius XI instituted this feast of Christ the King in 1925 in response to growing nationalism and secularism. The Pope wanted to remind the faithful that our ultimate allegiance was to Christ. Through this, the Church intends to upgrade our worship from the privacy of our heart to the highest level, that is, to also proudly proclaim his public and universal reign as King. And so, in the first reading of today, the entire Israel united in making David king. The reason was simple. They saw in him a worthy servant. He did not impose himself on them. He did not need to waste money and resources to be chosen or elected. Instead, they genuinely and unanimously acclaimed him as their king. In the same line, we praise Christ as our King today. He did not take this honor upon himself because he knew, according to Hebrews 5:4, no one takes this honor unto himself. So Jesus is a different kind of king to the earthly kings we have, both in his own time and since. Jesus is a very different one because the kingdom of God whose coming he came to announce was a very different kind of kingdom to the kingdoms of this world. Most of Jesus' contemporaries, including his own disciples, struggled to understand the difference. As we know, on one occasion, two of his closest disciples, James and John, asked Jesus for the most honorable seat in his kingdom, one on his right and the other on his left. They took the kingdom which he was preaching to be the kingdom of the world. They wanted as much status as possible in that kingdom. But what did Jesus do? In reply to their request, Jesus said, "You know that among the pagans, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." So the kingdom of God Jesus was proclaiming was not like any other earthly kingdom, and he would be a very different kind of king to the kings, rulers that the people we are familiar with. Service, especially service to those considered the least in the society, will be the hallmark of his kingdom. In the gospel of today, we see the difference. The gospel of today's feast of Christ the King does not bring us inside a splendid and lavished palace. Rather, it took us to the site of the Roman crucifixion on the cross, which was where Jesus accomplished his kingship. Where, according to the second reading, he delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us unto the kingdom of his beloved, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Hence, as Jesus hung on the cross, the Romans placed an inscription over his head: "This is the King of the Jews." What they thought was a mocking title or inscription over him became an affirmation. Verse 12 of the same reading says, "Let us give him thanks. Let us thank the Father who made us fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light." My dear brothers and sisters, it is that thanks we are giving today and making Jesus the King of Kings. Jesus died to give us his friendship, and through this he gave us our inheritance as sons and daughters of the true King. A true king sacrifices and is ready to die for his people. A true king is able to protect his people and save them from their enemies. Jesus, our King, did exactly that. Jesus, our King, wanted us to be with him forever. For him, it was worth dying for. And this is charity at the highest level, my dear brothers and sisters. Theologically, charity is defined as the highest form of love, signifying reciprocal love between God and man, that is made manifest in unselfish love of one fellow man. Charity is not philanthropy. When we talk about charity, we always think about giving and taking of material resources. But Jesus did more than that. Thus, he says to the good thief today and each and every one of us, "Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." He won for us eternal life through shedding his blood. This charity of Christ draws us closer to God and transforms us so that in loving God, we become like him. Jesus is the universal King because he overcame evil and conquered sin and death. Jesus is the true Savior because he not only saves us from sin and death, he led us from this world to be with him in paradise by giving us the means through which we can achieve this, which is the Eucharist we are celebrating today. A memorial of his charity to us. The Holy Mass is the celebration of a new covenant. For Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 15, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." The Mass is the celebration of this reality, which could be accomplished only by the sacrifice of the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, let our celebration today not be a mockery as the Jews and the unrepentant thief did. Instead, let it be genuine a general celebration of Christ as the universal King and also our individual and personal King. Following the example of Thomas More, in spite of his worldly success and position and his love for his King, the King of England, Jesus was his true King. When he obeyed his conscience in the signing of the oath of supremacy, we know the story. He sacrificed everything to follow Christ, the King. It cost him his life. But his final words, as he was being led to be beheaded, he said, "I die the King's good servant and God's first." My dear brothers and sisters, this is the best way and the highest way we can celebrate Jesus as our true universal King. So Jesus calls us to celebrate him by creating an opening for the coming of God's kingdom among us by giving expression to his merciful love in our dealings with one another. Today in our country, we are so divided. So we show that Jesus is our King by allowing his healing, life-giving love to flow through us and touch the life of all whom we meet. We accept Jesus as our King of love when we love others as Jesus has loved us, unconditionally, sacrificially, and with agape love. My dear brothers and sisters, Christ, our universal King, is divine, yet he shared our humanity and allowed us to share in his kingly and priestly nature. For read Revelation 1, verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. He is ever close. No special protocol are required to reach him. And so, my dear people of God, let us celebrate because the Lord comes to rule his people with fairness. He will rule forever and will give us, his people, the gift of peace. Amen.